Yeah. Hey, it's me, Nanu Badilla, aka Nanu. Listen to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Collinville, Catskill. You know. Ha. On the count of three.
Everybody run back to your fantasy.
Welcome to Roots, Runners, and Rhizomes, Health and Healing from the Underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambroni. This show is dedicated to exploring healing and wellness from a liberatory perspective, critiquing top-down hierarchical systems, looking up and around from below and alongside, the way roots and rhizomes grow.
Our show is not evaluated by the FDA or any licensing body, and our intention is not to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease on air, but by providing discussion, critique, and information from a variety of viewpoints, we hope you'll feel more empowered, informed, and resourced as you explore your own options for self-care.
La Virgen Mariam, por el mundo caminaban, por el mundo caminaban, con las plantas del Señor, todo lo curaban, todo lo curaban, todo lo curaba, todo lo curaba, todo lo curaban. La Virgen Mariam, por el mundo caminaban, por el mundo caminaban, alarararararay, la iririririririn, larararararay, arararararay, todo lo curaban, todo lo curaban, todo lo curaban, todo lo curaban. La Virgen Mariam, por el mundo caminaban, con las plantas del Señor, todo lo curaban, todo lo curaban, todo lo curaba, todo lo curaba, alara,
la. So today we're very excited to have a guest interview, and we'll be talking with Autumn Brown, a very dear friend of mine and a comrade of mine. And Autumn is a mother, organizer, theologian, artist, and facilitator. She's a founding member of the Rock Dove Collective, a radical community health exchange, and a member of the board of directors of the Common Fire Foundation and the Smart Meme Strategy and Training Project. Autumn facilitates transformative organizational development with community-based and movement organizations and trains community organizers in consensus process facilitation and resisting racism. Autumn is a recipient of the 2009 Next Generation of Leadership Fellowship through the Center for Whole Communities and the 2010 Creative Community Leadership Institute Fellowship through Intermedia Arts. She's recently moved with her two children and husband to the woods of Minnesota, where she is focusing on national healing justice organizing work.
Hey, Autumn, can you hear me? Are you with us?
La Virgen Mariam.
Can you hear her, Lauren?
No, I can't hear Autumn. So why don't you guys hold on one second and we'll try to get her.
We're going to play some
music. Cura, cura nuestros cuerpos. Limpia, limpia nuestras almas. La iririririririn. 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 La Virgen Mariam. La Virgen Mariam. Por el mundo caminaban, por el mundo caminaban, con la gracia del Señor, Todo lo curaban, todo lo curaba, todo lo limpiaba, todo lo limpiaba, todo lo limpiaba. Ay, ririririré, la iririré, la iririririririririn, la iririririririririn, la iririririririririn, la iririririririririn. La Virgen María, ayahuasca medicina, ayahuasca medicina, cura cura cuerpecito, limpiarengue espiritito, alaraira irerereren, alaraira irerereren, alaraira irerereren, alaraira irerereren, alaraira irerereren, alaraira irerereren, alaraira irerereren.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I can also hear some whistling.
Okay. Great.
Hi, Autumn.
How are you? How
Hi,
are you
Lauren.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice, girl.
Well, thanks, everyone, for being patient out there in
the
listening
sorry
world.
Yeah, sorry about the little technical difficulty we experienced. Autumn, we're so excited to have you here today. For our listeners, can you start by just telling us a little bit about where you're from and how you got into the community and activist work that you're involved with?
Sure. Where I'm from, well, I grew up in a military family.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up moving all over the country and lived for a good half of my childhood in Germany. So where I'm from is a bit of a complicated question, but but all of my family hails from the South, from South Carolina, so I got a lot of that in my blood. And I lived for a very long time in New York, and I went to school in New York, lived in New York City for 5 years, so that feels like, you know, home to me as well. Right now, I'm living in Minnesota with my family, with my partner, and my two young children. And how I became an activist, gosh, you know, it's funny, I think after you sort of look back on your childhood and you realize, like, there are so many moments, so many, like, small acts of resistance and acts of solidarity that really define your childhood. And I was just thinking about that earlier today, realizing that, like, there were so many things that led me to being the person I am today. But I would say that the... Probably the sort of earliest points where I could self-identify as an organizer were in high school. You know, I was very actively involved in my community, even as a student, and organizing my school to, like, you know, recycle. And, like, starting, like, an Amnesty International chapter with a friend of mine and, you know, doing that kind of work. But a lot of my early activism work was really around art. And using art to give community voice to issues.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, even at an early age, I was, like, very interested in issues of health and health disparities, even as a high schooler,
mm-hmm.
And as a college student as well. But when I was in school, you know, I'm very much of the, I guess you could say, as an organizer, I'm very much of the 9/11 generation. My first day of college was actually September 11th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was actually in a class called Empires to Nations, The Birth of the Modern Middle East, when the towers fell. It's a really interesting time. And so that was a really radicalizing moment for me. And, you know, doing a lot of trying to stop the war before it started, you know, we were doing a lot of that work at that time. So those were sort of the earliest points for me. I really got into health and healing work. As I got older, I had my own really traumatic experiences of being on the pill.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of searching for alternatives, that's when I really got interested in health justice and healing justice. And I had a really transformative experience of learning fertility awareness method, and at the same time, I met a whole bunch of other really incredible individuals who were interested in doing alternative health and healing work from an anarchist perspective, and that's when we created the Rocked Up Collective.
Awesome. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Rocked Up Collective and your mission and the things that you decided you wanted to start with? And how many people are we talking about who began the Rocked Up Collective?
And hopefully, you know, I'm sure Lauren will be able to fill those in any more than at another date and time because she's a part of the Rocked Up Collective. But the Rocked Up Collective is a really visionary project. It's based in, you might say, anarchist or anti-authoritarian ideas, but it's actually much broader than that. The goal of the project is really to create alternative systems for accessing healthcare. And one of the fundamental practices that we use and that we encourage is mutual aid and barter, just really helping people understand that that in order to have a functioning system of care, it really needs to be based in models of care that that really lift up the relationship between the person receiving care and the person who is the caregiver and values both of those individuals in the relationship just as highly. A big part of the way that we started the work that we were doing, interestingly, it was really just about trying to create a network of healthcare practitioners who were willing to offer their services in exchange for mutual aid. Or at barter, or at like a really generous sliding scale. Mm-hmm. And so we started collecting that information. We started by bringing together that network of practitioners. But the project has actually grown a lot since then in terms of, you know, our goals have shifted over time. We still are, you know, continuously building that network, but we're also building a lot of other kinds of resources. We have, like, a lot of written resources, tip sheets and fact sheets around different kinds of issues in negotiating the system that are available to anybody. They're translated into different languages. Mm-hmm. And we also do what we're sort of calling movement support work, where we're trying to work directly with organizations, social justice organizations that are themselves using alternative models for doing the work that they're doing and supporting them in getting the kind of health and healing work for their staff or for their constituencies that they need. Mm-hmm. So right now we're partnering with the Cise Puede Cooperative in Sunset Park in Brooklyn. We're also starting a partnership with the Audre Lorde Project in Brooklyn. And my role within the collective, since I've, you know, in the last year I moved from Brooklyn to Minnesota, now I've taken on more of a national movement support role, and so that's where my work with the Allied Media Conference comes in. And so we're really interested, at this point, at this juncture, we've been developing the model since 2006, and now what we're really interested in is, you know, building the model across the country and connecting with other organizations around the country that are also doing really transformative work around health and healing and sharing the resources that we have and getting resources from other folks and really trying to build some national movement around this.
And can you tell our listeners who may not know what the Allied Media Convention is, what that is and what you'll be doing?
Sure. The Allied Media Conference is this visionary gathering that happens every year in Detroit. It's more than a conference, I always like to tell people. More than a conference! it brings together people who are doing social justice work, people who are educators, media makers, health workers, you know, all kinds of different folks to basically share strategies around how they're doing the work and how they're incorporating media to get the message around what the work is out into the world. Mm-hmm. I should clarify that we also work from a really broad definition of what media is. You know, media can be basically anything that you're using to do your work. Mm-hmm. One of the really amazing things about the gathering is that it's truly participatory in the way that it's organized. And so, you know, it's a conference that has 19 different learning tracks this year. And the work that I'm doing with two other really amazing organizers, we are organizing the track that's called Health is Dignity, Dignity is Resistance, and it's basically a track where all the learning is related to health and healing justice. And we're also organizing a healing practice space that is going to be happening throughout the conference, where we're inviting healers to come and volunteer their services for conference goers, because, you know, predictably, in a lot of these conferences, you know, you're talking about really, really difficult issues that are coming up in communities, and it brings up a lot of really, really difficult stuff for people. And so we want a space for people to be able to go to and get some of that healing and care that they maybe can't get all the time in their community when they're doing the work.
Yeah, and a lot of people have maybe traveled far, and they're really pushing themselves physically, you know, to participate as much as they can, and it's really great that you're making it sustainable for people by offering that care. And also, I just want to say, before Lauren's question, for our listeners, I'll be sure to get the website information and post it on our Facebook page, so listeners who are interested in maybe attending or participating can find that. But if you know off the top of your head, when is this year's conference?
Yeah, it's June 23rd through the 26th of this year. It takes place in Detroit. And for folks who have a pen and paper ready, it's the website is alliedmedia.org. And you'll find all the information you need about scholarships that might be available, how to register, how to attend.
And Autumn, I just wanted to ask you a little bit if you could kind of give our listeners kind of a picture of what the healing and health justice movement even is in this country. I know that us as RACDEVs have a little bit of an idea, but we're also still navigating that. It's kind of a movement that is in existence, but building and being created in lots of ways too. So can you just give us a little picture about how you see it?
Sure. Well, I would say, you know, and, you know, and this is really, I have to really admit to my youth here and just say, you know, I've been doing this organizing work for, you know, like 7 years. And so there are many other people in the country who can speak with much more depth and breadth than I can. But I would say, you know, the health justice movement in this country is actually, you know, it's pretty well established. It's been ongoing for probably about 30 or 40 years now. I think people are very aware that the healthcare system in our country is hugely inadequate to meet the needs of most people in our country. I think that increasingly with the debate around healthcare access that's happened over the last few years in this country, I think people are starting to really wake up and understand that that because our system, our healthcare system, is based largely around a profit model, it makes it really, really difficult for most people to access the kind of care that they need. And so I think there are a lot of people around the country who are organizing for health justice.
And also, sorry not to interrupt, but also when you say that, it's also for healthcare providers or practitioners out there, they have to then buy into that model too of having to charge X amount of money in order to do the work that they want to do within their communities, which is not always the way that they want to be offering healthcare, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's both sides.
Exactly. It totally goes both ways. And I think that definitely a challenge that we've had within the RACDEV Collective is, you know, we have a lot of practitioners who will approach us and say, you know, I would really love to be a part of this collective. I'd really love to be a part of the work you're doing, but, you know, I'm just trying to pay my bills. I'm still trying to pay back my student loan bills. Like, I can't afford to offer care for free, or I can't afford to offer care for barter. You know, I don't even know what I need from people in terms of services. So a lot of the work that we have to do in terms of building that alternative economy is sort of helping people understand that that when they're getting something in trade or at a barter from someone, that it's not the same actually as getting it for free.
Right.
Yeah,
or doing it for free.
Yeah.
You know, and helping people understand that, like, you know, that is actually possible to ask for what you need and expect that you can receive it. But that's a, you know, that some of that is also just like psychological and internal work that people have to do of, you know, a big part of what we're fighting in terms of working for justice around health and healing is fighting our own psychology and our own socialization in terms of what we're socialized to think of as being
value.
The appropriate way. What is the value of care? What is the value of health? And also, what are appropriate ways to go about getting the health care that you need?
Right.
You know, I think people have really, we have in this country, we have a lot of curious and, you know, problematic ideas around what health and healing looks like.
Yeah.
But so I would say that the health justice movement is very established. Now, there's a growing desire for something called healing justice, which I wanted to sort of note is kind of a different idea. Healing justice is more of a, it's not even, you might not even say it's so, it's much of a movement yet, but it's more of a sort of framework that people are trying to embed in the social justice movement, which is just an understanding that if we are to truly have justice in our world, we have to have healing mm-hmm. in order to have justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
That most of the serious social justice issues that we're facing in this country,
mm-hmm.
They're the cause of, and they're coming out of situations of really deep trauma, historical trauma, systemic trauma,
mm-hmm.
and that in order to really have like true justice, we need to be able to not only rectify the situations that are causing those traumas,
mm-hmm.
but also be able to recognize and help heal from the traumas, even as we're creating situations where those traumas will no longer occur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's real.
Yeah. For our listeners, do you have any names of people that are working on this issue specifically right now?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, there are a lot of, I would say, you know, there's a really amazing organization in the South called the Kindred Southern Healing Justice
mm-hmm.
Project.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to build a network of healers in the South who can respond to traumas that are happening in communities and respond from that healing justice perspective. And I would say definitely also coming out of the U.S. Social Forum last year that happened in Detroit, 2010, you know, now there's sort of there was a People's Movement Assembly that happened at the U.S. Social Forum around healing justice. And so now you have this sort of growing network of people around the country who share the framework, who share the analysis, and are really interested in advancing it. And I also have to just name that, you know, these aren't even, it's not like it's really even a new idea. It's more that it's language for our time to talk
right.
about it.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Autumn, I'm curious, Sarah, did you have another question on this stuff?
Yeah,
okay. Autumn, I'm curious if we could shift it up a little bit. I want to know currently what type of self-care you're engaging in, because in terms of talking about, you know, seeking healing and all of the work that we're doing, what are you doing these days to take care of yourself?
That's a really good question.
and also, well, you know, our show, a big part of our show is having both quote-unquote official practitioners as well as everyday individuals just share their personal journeys. So it's interesting to have you. You have this background in activism and connection to practitioners. So, but we also just want to hear from you as a mom and a person and all that stuff, how you're taking care of yourself.
Right. Well, I know that one of my biggest challenges as an organizer is, I know that this is shared by a lot of organizers, is feeling like I can never do enough.
And
something that I've been really struggling with in the last year of my life is just realizing that, like, you know, that sense of never being able to do enough is impacting my relationship with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And that I often find myself, like, I'll get halfway through my day and realize, like, oh, man, like, I've been in the same room with my son for, like, hours, and I haven't even asked him a question about, like, what he's thinking about or what it is that he's doing when he's trying to write on the wall. You know, I just am mm-hmm. taking the pencil away, but I'm not, like, engaging him. And
right.
You know, and so for me, a lot of my self-care right now is really around, like, okay, how do I intentionally create space for myself to have that sort of core connection realized again with my children at every moment that I can, you know? I'm like, I'm breastfeeding my daughter, and so, you know, so that's sort of a built-in, like, you know, I sit down, I feed her, we stare into each other's eyes, you know, I kick with her feet, like, there's sort of a built-in connecting moment. And with my son, I have to be more intentional about it. You know, I take him, so now that the weather's getting nicer here, it's really awesome. Like, I live out in the middle of the woods, and so I can take him for a walk every day in the woods and, you know, really get into it with him. We want to throw rocks in the water and help him gather the rocks and make sure, you know what I mean? And so a lot of my self-care is around making sure that I'm having a really rich relationship with them, and it helps me to sort of step out of myself as an organizer, because I'm an organizer who's working from home and, you know, with my kids 24/7, and so I'm trying to sort of play both of those roles fully. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of my self-care is around boundary setting with my work, and just recognizing that, like, you know, people have been working on these issues for centuries. People are going to be working on these issues for centuries. And if I don't get that email sent today, or if I don't get that document completed by the end of the week, or if I don't get that phone call, or if I don't get that conference call scheduled within the next, like, 4 hours, it's going to be all good.
Right.
It's just not going to die because I didn't figure some shit out.
So, Otto, we have to wrap up in just a minute, but I wanted to... if you could just talk for a minute or two. I mean, I've been so blessed and feel so proud to be a fellow Rock Dove with you, and you have really touched my life in so many transformative ways that I am undyingly indebted to you for how you've helped me grow and become a person who I really am proud of in the world. So part of that is to say thank you, and part of it is also that as we were having meetings together with, you know, your first child, Finn, at your arms, one of the things I thought was so amazing was that, you know, you'd come to meetings and you're like, Doves, I was just at the food stamps office, and then I had to go meet my doula at the birthing center, and let me just tell you, this world is crazy, and I just thought that duality there was just so amazing, and I was just wondering if you could talk just for a minute about what that was like for you, navigating as a mom those two very different worlds.
Sure, I have to say, it was those were two very, very different experiences, you know, happening at the same time, and I will be forever grateful to, you know, when I had my son Finn, I had him at a birthing center in Brooklyn, and my daughter I had at home in Brooklyn, and those were, again, two very different experiences. But with my pregnancy with Finn, you know, when I got pregnant with him, I was, you know, had no health insurance. I, you know, I was, like, just starting out my facilitation practice as an organizer. And I went, the first place that I went to was the Brooklyn Birthing Center. I knew that I wanted to work with a midwife, and they were amazing. They handled my, I didn't have health insurance, and they handled my Medicaid application for me. And, you know, bless their hearts, they were just so incredible, and they were the ones who really encouraged me to go get myself on food stamps so that I wouldn't be hurting so much financially in terms of trying to afford food.
Right.
Now, the food stamp process was really a learning for me. I mean, and it was really intense to realize, you know, as someone who is, like, you know, speaks English as a first language and is college educated and, you know, is very assertive, some might even say aggressive, and very good at advocating for myself, it was amazing to me how challenging it was to negotiate that system and to realize that most people who are negotiating that system do not have the resources available to them that I did, you know. And so it really led me to... you know, and I was able to negotiate enough to get myself on food stamps, and I was on food stamps for 2 years, and thank God for that. And what that led me to was to create, to work with one of the social workers who's a part of the Rock Dove Network to create a resource on how to access food stamps.
Okay.
That's really largely about how to approach it from a psychological and emotional place. Because so much around those kinds of systems is like, how do they beat you down so much that you don't want to be in the system at all, even though you know that being in the system is going to give you the resources that you need to really have the kind of health that you need to be able to have a good pregnancy and eventually to be able to have a healthy birth and have healthy childhood for your children.
Man, so, Autumn, we could, I think we have like 25 more shows to have with you, but we have to end because there's some other people who have some shows coming on after us.
Sure.
So I'm so sorry to cut you off there.
Thank you so much to have me on the show.
Thank you so
Autumn,
much.
Thank you so much for being with us and here for our community over at WGXC.
And hey, everyone, our next show is going to air on Monday, May 16th. Check our Facebook page and we'll put the links that Autumn was talking about and other information. You can also send us a message there if you have a question. You can email us at rootsrunnersrhizomes@gmail.com. Send us your suggestions for topics, questions, interviews. And you can also call us next time, 518-828-0290. But that's all for today. And thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much, Autumn. We'll have you back.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Hello, Abnara.